Pastor Judy Cobb told a story the other day that went something like this. A number of years ago, she was sitting in her office when she got a phone call that pastors get rather regularly. It was a phone call from the local funeral home. And the person at the funeral home said, there's someone who has just died, and his family is here, and he had no home church. And he had no pastor to conduct the funeral service, and he was a Lutheran from Baltimore. Would you be willing to do the service? And so she found out when it was, and well, she didn't have an excuse because she had nothing on her calendar for that time. And so she did what all of us do. She said, sure, I can do that. Can you give me the information for the closest relative? And so then she went on to call the widow of the man who had died and set up a time to meet with her. And so when they were sitting down together, Pastor Judy asked her, so tell me a little bit about your husband. And she said, well, he was a jerk. Actually, I'm not quoting directly what she said. What she actually said would be inappropriate to say in this space. And of course, Pastor Judy didn't quite know what to make of that. That is not what we're used to hearing, right? When we meet with people, usually they say, oh, my goodness, he was perfect. There was nothing wrong with him. Everyone just adored him. Anytime anyone needed help, they could call on him. No one had an unkind word to say about him. It's amazing. When someone dies, immediately they become a saint. Nothing in their life was wrong or bad or difficult. And so when she said he was a jerk or other such words, she didn't quite know what to make of it. So Pastor Judy Cobb, for those of you who don't know her, she can be rather blunt. She said, so, I'm sorry, why are we doing this? And her response was so profound. And it so showed such faithfulness. She said, because I still know that he was a child of God. The truth is that for all of us, and for some it's harder to believe than others, we are saints of God, just as each of us were made in the image of God. But the question is, given that we are all called saints of God while we are yet sinners, how do we lean more heavily on the saint part of our identity? How do we live fully into that title that God bestows on us undeserving sinners? How do we live into being a reflection of God, an image of God? According to Luke's version of the Beatitudes, to be blessed by God is to be counted among those who are hungry, poor, mourning, and persecuted. Now, even those among us who are one of those things, I don't think we really want to be that. So maybe we should move on to the end of our reading. I say to you that, listen, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Well, if that's what it takes to be a saint of God, I'm not quite so sure I'm up for it. So let's take a step back then. I think that we can all agree on this basic premise. To be a saint of God, the perfect saint that has ever lived, is, of course, you know the answer. It's a children's sermon. The answer is Jesus, right. Jesus was the perfect saint, the image of God, because, well, he had an advantage because he was God, right? He lived into that. And what did Jesus do? Jesus took on mortality and came down from heaven and dwelt among us. Jesus joined us in our hunger, pain, and suffering. Now, to be fair, I am convinced that Jesus laughed too. You can just read some of his stories to know that. But Jesus came to humanity where we were. And this, I think, is in fact the point of the Beatitudes here in Luke's version of them. Luke is careful. We don't read everything that builds up to it, otherwise we'd be here all day. But the setup for this is really interesting. So the setup that comes before our gospel reading today is that Jesus goes up high on a mountain and gathers around him the disciples. And at this point, it's many disciples. It's all the people who have followed him in his wanderings. And he picks out from among those who have followed him the 12 apostles. And they aren't the richest or the sharpest. They're just 12 faithful, ordinary people. And then he takes those 12 apostles with him, and he spends time with them to teach them and to grow them and to help shape their faith. And in order to do that, it says that Jesus traveled down the mountain and stood at a level place. And then he got down even further. He got below them and started talking to them about leveling, where those who are hungry will be filled. Those who are mourning will laugh. Those who are persecuted will find joy and be lifted up. Of course, the uncomfortable part of that is the reverse, which is true as well. It's not bad to laugh, or to have your fill, or to have enough. In fact, as your pastor, I should tell you that it is truly my prayer that each one of you has more laughter and abundance and good food in your life. But you also need to know, at your most comfortable, when all seems well in your life, Jesus needs you to know that there are people who are mourning and hungry and poor. And if ever there is a time in your life where you do not feel the strain of that, then you are not living fully into the life you are called to live by God. Now, the joyous thing about life here at Epiphany is that we get to live into that simply by who gathers here each Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Have you ever just sat in the parlor and overheard conversation? You know, there are people who are relatively well off here, but there are also people who relatively quietly make their way to the food pantry when times are tough. And there are people who are struggling with illnesses. There are people who just cannot help but be sad because they have lost someone they love, whether a month ago or years ago. And to overhear how people are open to sharing that, knowing that there are people here who will sit with them and hear their story and walk with them. It is a beautiful and joyous thing to be the saints gathered, not perfect, but open and willing to depend upon one another. May you live as a saint, not just in the memories of those who saw the best in you, but today. May you be a reflection of Jesus who joined us in our pain. May you be a blessed part of the body of Christ. And finally, we give thanks today. We give thanks for this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. We give thanks for their witness. We give thanks that one day, when we join them as the saints in light, we will be washed clean, and not by the selective memory of those who loved us most, but we will come fully into our God-pronounced sainthood by the grace and mercy of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.